It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah. I can't do it like Cofield. I tried. Didn't work. Leaving for Rebecca Black and Cofield to do that. Song's still going strong after, what was it, like 20 years? I feel like song's been out for like 20 years.
She actually put out an album after that, too. I don't know if you knew that.
A whole album?
Yeah, it was like I saw about four or five songs. I don't know if it was a whole album, actually.
It can't be good, right?
No, it was awful. It lost all of its charm. You know, the original one was good because it sucked.
I feel like you'd have a hard time admitting it was good, even if it was good. You're not like a Rebecca Black demo.
I don't know. I checked it out. I went in with no perceived, preconceived notions of it. I thought maybe it was going to be good. I watched the Cash Me Outside Girl had an album, too. Did you ever see that one?
Bad Baby?
Yeah. She's actually okay, right? No?
I mean, as a rapper?
I don't know.
I
saw the video.
As an OnlyFans model?
As an OnlyFans model, she's actually really. But the rap, I didn't think it was bad as it could have been.
I mean, okay.
I was expecting worse.
There's a wide range of outcomes there.
That's true.
That's safe to say. That's probably true. That is not what we were getting into here, but we never know where it's going to go. I actually feel terrible for making this comparison, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because I said, you don't seem like the Rebecca Black demo necessarily. And I will say that there is – I know a lot of people that are like, I would consider very into music and like knowledgeable of music and understanding, and people that I don't think would be that kind of demo that really, really believe in Carly Rae Jepsen as an artist. Now, I know everybody just thinks of Call Me Maybe, which is, I know she's a real singer, not like a internet star or whatever.
Right.
But they will say that she is actually very good, which I was surprised by.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even know who that is.
You don't know Call Me Maybe?
No. What is it?
Griffin, this is crazy, right? You know this song.
Call Me Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I know that song.
How's it go?
Do we have it?
Yeah, what is this?
I don't know if we have it or if we're even allowed to play it, but it's some like, hey, I just met you and this is crazy.
Here's my number.
Why don't you go ahead and call me back maybe?
Well, hold on. You added extra words.
Does anybody have the melody of this? Does somebody know how it goes?
Like, are you trying to get us to say? I
don't know it. I really don't know.
There's no way you've never heard this song.
Well, if somebody does it, maybe I'll be like, oh, yeah, that one.
Griffin, actually sing the melody
sing
of the
it.
Song.
Y'all really going to make me sing this?
Yes.
Well, let's
yes.
try.
Yeah, so I'm like, it's like a, hey, I just met you.
Oh, okay. I got it.
It's good.
I got it. Whatever that one. Yeah, I got you.
I don't think you not think that was
I do.
Wrong.
No, I know
I
what it
that
is.
That was off. I don't think you were humming the right song.
Maybe my rendition might have been terrible, but I know what song you're talking about. It's like a pop song.
Yes, but they will say that outside of that, like she is judged by that song her one-hit wonder, but that if you actually dive deep into her discography.
I think she's pretty good on that one, though.
You didn't even know the song.
Well, now I do. Now that Griffin did it perfectly, I understood it.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe there's got to be like a Call Me Maybe rejoin in there somewhere. I feel like next day we'll be able to maybe track that down. This is actually our intro to the Raiders talk. I don't know how. I don't know why. Aiden O'Connell, whoever's going to win the quarterback job, Call Me Maybe.
Yeah. Call Adam.
Is that I mean, not me, but like call us. Tell us.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Let
tell us
know.
What's going to happen.
Let us know that you're going to be – that you're the guy.
Yeah, which bum's going to win?
I don't think that's a – I don't think that's an accurate or a solid segue, but I just will jump into it. Big day for the quarterbacks tomorrow as the Raiders host the Cowboys. Both are going to get extensive opportunities in this game. Starters likely to play into the second half. Game three will be where they play the young guys and try to fight out for the positions down on the roster. But tomorrow will be a lot about the starters, especially at the quarterback position, and we'll find out who's able to win. I think there's a lot of layers to this. First of all, I hinted that there was breaking news in the quarterback room earlier in the show. Anthony Brown, who's been much discussed on this show, no longer a Raider. He is gone. Released from the team. It was very, very controversial as people were talking about his talent, which is immense. Was never able to put it together. We saw that when he started a game for the Ravens 2 years ago. Saw that again here in camp where he would make like three great throws and all of a sudden drop the ball as he was dropping back to pass. trouble making decisions, trouble being decisive, a lot of issues that you need to see out of a quarterback. But all the talent in the world is there. They had seen enough. He is gone. The writing was on the wall when the team signed Nathan Peterman the other day. Peterman got in, what, 3 practices now? And they saw enough that he was in shape, ready to go. He had actually been in camp just as of a couple weeks ago. So was already in shape, ready to go. And they saw enough of his understanding. He's been with Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, the last 2 seasons. They think he is, you know, he'd be ready to step in as a third quarterback if needed. So so long to Anthony Brown. That discussion is over officially. But Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew, both are going to play extensively in this game. I have said it, and I'll repeat it here for our listeners. I've been asked a lot about this. If this has been an open competition and they're going to, you know, base the decision on, oh, let's go, Corbin Burns giving up some runs. That's good. That's good for the Cy Young, for Emmanuel Clase. Burns is the second choice currently on the board. If it is an open competition, and based on what has happened on the field of play is going to be the factor, Gardner Minshew probably has already won the job. But I don't believe it was a fully open competition. I think it was a competition where it was open, but they wanted either Gardner Minshew to just destroy Aiden O'Connell in the competition and make it clear, or they wanted Aiden O'Connell to win the job. And neither of those has happened. So I think that they're giving Aiden O'Connell one last chance, hoping from their perspective that he wins the job. But he's going to have to do a lot of work, I think.
I never understood this from the beginning.
Nobody does.
I'm not saying Gardner Minshew's amazing elite starter in the NFL, but he's pretty good. Like, I mean, he's a good player. Even if you want to give Steichen a lot of the credit with the Eagles and the Colts, he had like a 96 QB rating with the Jags. I mean, he was a pretty good player. And his career touchdown interception ratio is good. I know he doesn't have a great arm,
no,
you know, a lot
doesn't.
Of the outside throws and stuff like that.
And it's pretty clear watching a practice.
Is that really? Is it really? Yeah. Okay, well, that part I get. But, I mean, as far as on the field, I mean, what has Aiden O'Connell done to even warrant this competition? And I just don't understand.
Well, he's got their trust, and I think that's a big thing. But, again, if that was the case, then you don't say it's an open competition.
Right.
I think you do open yourself up to – questions, not only from us in the media, which don't matter in the end, not only from fans, although fans seem to want O'Connell to win anyway for the most part, but I think you do open yourself up for questions from the team, from the locker room, even if guys are on the side of Aiden O'Connell, which a lot of guys are because they played with him last year, they trust him, they like him for sure, he's very, very loved in that locker room, but if you tell all your players, hey, look, this is an open competition, and then the guy that plays better doesn't win the job, what does that tell you about every other position? So if I outplay the guy in front of me, I'm not going to have the job? Like, it does send a message.
Yeah. No, I agree. I wonder, and I mean, I don't know, you probably know this better than me, like, if you ask the skill position players to a man who they'd rather have, you think they're going to go O'Connell?
I think it depends on the guy, for sure. And a lot of people read into Devonta Adams' quote the other day. I think they overanalyzed the quote, but a lot of people read into his quote and thought it was a vote for Aiden O'Connell. I don't necessarily know that to be true. Don't forget, and you go back to receiver and how frustrated Devontae was, rightfully so with a lot of the play. They kind of edited it, and they didn't specifically do this, but they kind of edited it to look like all of the hospital balls last year to Devontae were from Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
They weren't. Some were from Aiden O'Connell, including the one where he got most seriously injured against the Chargers. They kind of insinuated that ball was thrown by Jimmy Garoppolo. It was not.
Right.
That was Aiden O'Connell. It was his first start, and it was a terrible start. But that was Aiden O'Connell that threw that, and he has put him in harm's way several times. Now, to be fair, Gardner Minshew has done the same thing in training camp to a lot of the receivers.
Sure.
And I think I think a receiver would make their decision based on not necessarily – you know, who's the most accurate necessarily downfield, who's making the bigger plays. It's who's going to keep me out of harm's way. Who's not going to throw me into a nightmare hit. Who's not going to, like, lay me out in front of a safety, that kind of thing. Like, I think that's what they base it on. And Aiden O'Connell has been pretty accurate. That's one of his strengths. Now, a lot of times the accuracy is, you know, waiting too long, throwing over the middle and throwing to a safety.
Right.
But he has done a better job, I think, this offseason of kind of keeping guys – out of trouble a little bit, and That's something, as we mentioned, with the lack of arm strength, Gardner Minshew has had a little bit of an issue with. So they might look at that. It's tough. It's a very close call. There's a lot to analyze. And I do want to point out one other thing. And I know I said this over on Raider Nation Radio earlier with the guys. But one of the things that I keep hearing from people that are talking about this is, hey, Aiden O'Connell's young. Like, let him play. Let him develop. Let's see what he's got. About that, he ain't that young.
Right.
You know that, and I know these off the top of my head because I was looking them up the other day because I was thinking, like, Aiden O'Connell's young. He can still develop. And then I said, wait, I know he's young in football years. This is only second year in the NFL. You know that Trevor Lawrence is 2 years younger than Aiden O'Connell?
I didn't. That's, yeah.
Justin Herbert is 4 months older. Like, they're the same age.
Right.
So, yes, he's young in his football development, but he is mature. Like, so to the point of some other people have said, hey, you can't bring this young guy off the bench. Like, he'll lose his confidence if you – like, he's not young. He's mature. He's a man. He's an adult. He's not 22. He's a 26-year-old. He'll be 26 week one. He's 25 right now. He'll be 26 before week one. So, I mean, it's not like he's some fragile kid that's going
right.
to be ruined. He's been through, like, 9 different quarterback battles in his life since high school. Like, he can handle it.
You know, I wanted to ask you this because, and you brought up the receiver. What do you think about that? And I know Devontae's not alone on this. There's a lot of mercurial wide receivers that, you know, voice their opinions, whatever.
Mercurial, big word.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Do you think that – I felt like he was almost bordering on bad teammate. With some of that stuff.
I mean, I understand it.
Yeah.
But I think in the room he has the respect to where people aren't going to look at it that way. And he's framed it to the point of, look, I do get emotional. I do get – I think it was he kind of joked about it with Amon-Ra St. Brown on the receiver hot ones challenge that they did.
Right.
And Devontae's question was – name my 3 weaknesses. And Amon-Ra St. Brown was trying to say emotional without, like, saying emotional. And Devontae kind of joked with him, like, just say it. You know, I pout, I whine, whatever you want to say. He was kind of joking with him about that. But that's just – it's what he is, and he has framed it, and I think his teammates understand to the point of, like, that's just wanting the best and expecting perfection.
If you're a teammate, though, does that bother you? I mean, like, let's say you're maybe not even Jimmy Garoppolo, but you're another guy on the team who's, you know, wide receiver, a lineman, whatever.
It's really sad to say it, but there is a double standard.
Yeah.
And, like, if that was, you know, I'm not going to use a name of a player, but if it's, you know, fourth-year wide receiver who has 38 career catches, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're having a problem, and there's going to be a fight in the locker room.
Sure.
But if it's Devontae Adams, he can say what he wants.
That's like that old Jimmy Johnson story where he had just cut a guy, and one of the, you know, reporters was like, hey, why'd you cut that guy? He's like, oh, he fell asleep in a meeting. And they're like, what would you do if Michael Irvin fell asleep in a meeting? He says, wake him up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it is. So, like, you understand that aspect of it and how there is, you know, that understanding from that perspective of those guys going out what the expectations are for Devontae Adams and how he might be looked at differently how he acts than if somebody else acted the same way. And, you know, we'll see how it goes this year, because I would act the same way if the same things are happening. If I'm in Devontae Adams' shoes,
right,
I have the level of ability that he has. I'm chasing the history, the greatness that he is chasing. And I've got every week to wonder if I'm going to get open and a guy's going to give me the ball. Like, I would probably be acting the same way.
Yeah. Plus, I think it's different if you're winning. Like, I got a little bit perturbed, whatever word you want to use, watching A.J. Brown last year, because there was a game where the Eagles, at that point, they were undefeated. They were winning the game, and he was just throwing a fit on the sideline, you know, throwing a fit, blah, blah, blah. And you had to see Hurts getting his face kind of like, hey, okay, calm down. At least Devontae Adams there, he hasn't been winning, and you have, you know, there's an excuse there for why he'd be upset.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Well, quarterback competition, the Devontae Adams storyline, and if you didn't join us earlier, again, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in terms of playing. All we can do is lay out what happened this week. Tuesday night, Davante Adams said if it's up to him, he's not playing Saturday. Antonio Pierce was asked the next day. Davante said he doesn't want to play. Antonio Pierce's response was very simple. If you're healthy, you're playing. Didn't say Davante. He said, if you are healthy,
right,
you're playing. The next day, yesterday, Davante Adams did not practice. No injury listed. There was some word, maybe just a veteran rest day. But you have to also remember he'd only practiced twice after being gone for 10 days.
Yeah.
So doesn't really need a rest day. And they had off today. So it seems like it is being set up to say, hey, minor injury, not going to play Saturday. We don't know if that's going to happen, but it does feel like it's heading in that direction. So we'll see how that is handled from the Raiders' perspective. Again, it's going to be made a big deal of, including by me, but it's really nothing in the end.
I'm 100% bought in on your conspiracy, by the way.
It's nothing in the end. Davante Adams will be more than ready for week one, and he will be great as he always is. There was another thing that we've referenced a little bit in the show today. We'll get into the details of that. A fight at practice, only the second one, really the biggest fight that we've seen at practice, but only the second skirmish of any real kind that they've had. It involved, I know Max Crosby's name has been brought up a lot, he was kind of into it late. It involved undrafted rookie free agent Will Putnam. He was mixing it up with Robert Spillane on a play, kind of right up to the whistle and a little bit after. Next play, same two guys went at it. And it kind of bubbled over, and they started kind of, you know, pushing and shoving and jawing. And that was where kind of the whole teams got involved. All the offense, all the defense came together. Have you seen, like, anytime you see a big fight like that, a kind of scrum, nothing really over the top, just a lot of pushing and shoving, but it becomes just 22 guys interconnected. Yeah. And then Max Crosby, who does everything 185%, was like, okay, I'm not just going to get involved in this. I'm going to take it to the next level. Kind of started jumping over the pile, throwing punches at Putnam to try to tell him, you don't mess with my teammates on defense. And he ripped Putnam's helmet off and threw it about 20 yards. It was an impressive toss. I don't think he's entered himself in the quarterback competition, but it was a good throw. And then what I thought was the most interesting part, they have a DJ during practice who's mostly playing a lot of hip-hop that I love and other reporters seem to hate. But it's great music, I feel like, on the sideline. All of a sudden, they play the Rocky theme song. Then they play We Are Family.
Nice.
To say, hey, we're all together on this. And then I guess they decided they needed to tone it down even further. So they just played a bunch of children's theme songs. They played the Barney theme song, the SpongeBob theme song, Baby Shark.
You know,
Dora the Explorer.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I know you a little bit, but I don't know enough about, like, how angry you get at certain things. Would you be able to, like, I'm always amazed at the professionalism. Like, I would never, if I got a fight on the field, it would continue on the street, and it would continue next day, and it would continue forever. Like, I don't, how they do this to me is crazy.
Well, it's interesting, because, I mean, they are all teammates, of course, for sure. But it is a pretty segregated locker room. And when I say that, I mean, offense on one side, defense on the other.
Right.
And usually when you see a fight, offensive guys stick up for the offense, defensive guys stick up for the defense. And, yeah, they're all – like, Davante and Max are always crossing over, talking to each other. And there's other guys that are super tight, like, you know, Jacoby Myers and the defensive backs are pretty tight. But, yeah, there always is a little bit of, all right, we're going to go back to the locker room, we're going to go to our sides of the locker room.
Yeah.
We might not necessarily have to – you know, you might be yelling across, but there's no real – it's not like your locker's next to the guy that you just fought with. So there is a little bit of a separation in that regard. So that helps probably.
Yeah.
And you can just go back, and I'm sure, like, you, as you would know, like, the offensive guys will talk to each other and, like, oh, man, that guy sucks. Like, hey, just forget him. And defensive guys do the same thing. And, tempers can calm that way. But also I think you just understand, like, hey, you're hitting each other in the head time and time again. All right, now practice is over. All right, we're cool again. I'm sure there was a little conversation. Maybe and maybe not. I'm sure sometimes – guys
we probably just don't hear about it.
I'm sure there's many times guys do hate each other.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you can squash those things fairly easily. I feel like that's just a part of the locker room culture and guys being around each other all the time. I said earlier in the show, if you had any things that you're watching for or things you could ask, like, hey, what's going on here? Maybe I could check out for the game. This would be the time to do it. So what are your thoughts? I mean, what do you want to see besides the quarterback battle? What are you looking for in the game?
Are you talking to me?
I was.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to the listener.
No.
I'm interested.
By the way, the listener. We have one.
Well, you know, you're supposed to pretend there's only one person listening. Exactly. You know, it's just that one guy, girl, whatever. I'm interested in the defense. I think the offense is going to be pretty good regardless. I know people are down on the – because of the quarterback competition. Like, they're going to be any good. I think the offense is actually going to be pretty good. I think their skill players are nice. I think they've improved the O-line a little bit. I'm interested in the defense, especially the back end, because I know they're going to get to the quarterback, but are they going to still have enough time to get the ball out? I mean, are they going to be able to – is there going to be a guy wide open so it doesn't really matter when they get to the quarterback? So I'm interested in that for sure. I want to see how the secondary plays, and I'm hoping Dallas plays some of their starters so we can see it.
Doubtful. None of them have contracts, so I think we'll probably
that's true.
Not see a whole lot of those guys.
That's a good point.
And I know that's much to your pleasure, your delight, that
yes.
Dallas are struggling with
their
finances. So I'll answer that by saying I believe, and I know it's not going out on a limb, anybody that's been following this team in training camp and everybody else that's been writing about it, Jack Jones is on the verge of becoming a massive superstar in this league. He's a cornerback number 18, electric with the ball in his hands. So he wants to return kicks, he wants to return punts, do all that stuff. He is just an elite athlete who was not in the right place. When you talk about like the Patriot way, the Patriot culture, that's not Jack Jones.
Right.
Jack Jones is the kind of guy that you're just like, hey man, do your thing, and that's really not a Bill Belichick kind of a system. So Jack Jones found the person in Antonio Pierce, who coached him in high school, coached him in college, and has just said, hey, you're going to be held to a standard. Like, you have to keep yourself in line, but do you. Say what you want to say. Talk trash. Play how you want to play.
Right.
Be obnoxious to the other team. Be hilarious, which he is. Do all that stuff that the Patriots didn't want you to do. Show up on Sunday. And it's worked. It's really unlocked something in him, and I believe he is on the verge of having an absolute superstar season, and he's going to be very popular if people start to get to know him a little bit. I know some people get mad because there's some things in his past, but you also have to understand, you know, his story a little bit. Not to make an excuse for it, but it does seem like he has gotten it figured out a little bit, and I think he's so fun to hear talk. He has interesting things to say every day, but on the field he's backing it up. There's almost not been a day where he didn't get an interception.
I know, it's crazy. I hear about him nonstop.
He's incredible. And the safeties are just kind of quiet. They're both neither one of them is like boisterous or out there, but they're two of the most steady safeties in the league. I think that was the real key to the defense being a top-10 defense last year. It's just how good and steady Trayvon Merrick and Marcus Epps are. And the other side, like, Jacorian Bennett has taken a pretty big step up. Now, he's going to have to take a huge step up to be where they want him to be, but he has taken a step up for sure. And I think he's definitely locked down the starting spot opposite Jack Jones. Nate Hobbs, obviously, in the slot, which is where he's more comfortable and he'll thrive. But on the outside, Jacorian Bennett making a lot of plays on the ball, getting his hands on it. He's been looking very good. So I don't have any questions about the defense at all. There was some definite run fits that there were a problem last week, but a lot of that was they hadn't gone live very often. In fact, very, very rarely had they done that in
right.
training camp, and they just didn't have the, you know, your defensive tackles, your defensive ends, like, fighting off blocks, getting your hands on the offense, shedding them, and just violent with your hands. They just hadn't had that, and so I think that should get better. I don't have many concerns about the defense, and so I think they're going to want to run the ball a lot on offense to keep that defense winning them games, and that'll be interesting to see how well the defense plays in terms of, you know, filling some gaps and that sort of thing, especially starting tomorrow against the Cowboys. We can finish up talking a little bit more Raiders. A lot of questions are going to be answered tomorrow. Expected to name their starter maybe as early as Sunday morning based on how Saturday goes. So a big game for both Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew tomorrow. So we'll have plenty more on that and a whole lot more. There was a ranking of stadiums. I think it was actually pretty decent. We'll get into that and more here at Kofi and Company, a Hilda's Homies edition from the Golden Circle at TI.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Cofield and Company, we talked about it before we went to break. Hill and His Homies edition. Top 30 stadiums, that's all of them, in the NFL, ranked in order. The definitive list, apparently, that came out. It's actually not bad. I have been to the vast majority. I think there's like two or three missing right now, but I have fairly similar thoughts in a lot of these spots, a lot of the rankings. We'll start with Allegiant Stadium. We talked about the Raiders hosting the Cowboys tomorrow. First game of the season for the Raiders at home. Number four on the list.
It's pretty good.
Not bad. Yeah. Not bad. It's up there. I think it's probably top five. I think there's some things to not love about it, especially the parking situation, but I don't know if that counts in the stadium.
That's true. That's awful.
Should have put it at a place with a bigger area, but that's fine. So they're fourth. Here's where I have a problem with number one, because I'm going to give it away. I know that's not how you're supposed to do radio lists. Supposed to count down.
Yeah.
I don't like that. But I do want to give away number one only because I hate this. Like, it's best stadium list. And I know that's subjective. You can rank it however you want to. You can judge it by whatever you want. But they ranked number one Lambeau Field. It's fine. You're doing this because it's historic.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it.
That's all it is.
It's not the best stadium.
No.
It's just not. And so, I also know when you do rankings, newsflash, you want people talking about it. And here we are talking about it.
Right.
I just don't like when you do that. They did put SoFi at number two on the list down in L.A. It is spectacular for those that haven't been there. And I know there's people that have issues with it, including – I'll sidetrack on this. This is a problem at every stadium in America. I go to a lot of stadiums. People that listen to the show know I have very consistent complaints. It's a problem everywhere. The people that work there have no idea where they are.
Oh, okay.
SoFi is a every time. It's always different. You always go to a different place. No. You go this way. I'm like, okay, this is literally the ninth game I've covered here. I know that this is where I'm going. No. You go that way. And you go down to the next door. You're like, hey, they just told me to come to this door. I know I'm supposed to go to the other one. Yeah. But they told me to come here. And they're like, no. It's neither one. It's that one. You're like, okay. You go to the third one. They're like, no. It's the first one that you were. Okay.
That happens. You're right, though. That happens.
It's every stadium. How do.
Does that happen to me here? It happened to me at the Super Bowl here.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
And I know it's being selfish because this is our thing, but they literally never know where media is supposed to go.
No.
Ever.
No idea.
What's that? We're going to the press box. Oh, you can't go to the press box. You need a pass. That's this.
I know. I've been let in areas and then not let in other areas with the same pass, yeah. And then I've seen other people with my pass in the area I was trying to get in.
And I fully acknowledge people are listening or who cares that we don't deal with this.
Right.
But it also applies to you. Like, it does apply to you because I've gone as a fan. I just literally I was in Southern California for 3 weeks, obviously, for camp. I went to like 7 baseball games between Dodger Stadium and Angel Stadium. It's the same. It's the same everywhere. And look, I know it's people. A lot of them, I don't think they're volunteers. They actually get paid. They work there. But it's people that are told, hey, make sure nobody goes down here.
Right.
And then they're like, hey, I'm supposed to not let anybody here. Well, I'm actually supposed to go here. This is where my ticket is. No, I was told don't let anybody here. Like, they're told one task.
Yeah.
And that's all. And I'm not talking about media. I'm talking about when you have a ticket, don't let anybody go to this spot. Well, that's where my ticket is. But I was told not to let anybody here. Okay. Well, I don't know what to tell you then because I'm supposed to go right here. It's still one of my favorite things. There was one in New Orleans. There was like long barricade set up to go like this way, whatever. Yeah. And we got there like 5 hours before the game. So we were like, oh, nobody's here yet. We're just going to walk up to the thing. Like, no, you have to go over here. And we said, well, why? There's no, because they're like, oh, I was told to put people in this. This will be at the doors. The doors to the left, there's nobody at the, like, that's where we're going. They're like, no, we were told to have people stand over here. Yeah, but that's when there's people here. Like, yeah. When there's people here, that's. No, I was told to have. Okay,
Adam, can I interject really
yes,
quick?
Yes, go ahead.
I will say I am one of those people.
Oh no!
Part of my job is
game
day operations with the Las Vegas Raiders at Allegiant Stadium.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm one of those guys pissing Adam off in the stadiums. That's me. I will tell you though, that job, there's not the communication isn't the best.
I know.
Sometimes we're told honestly, yeah, that's literally all the instructions we have. Don't let people go down here. Don't put your get the face scans.
That's why I'm trying not to blame those. That's what I'm saying is a lot of time the direction is don't let anybody go here.
Well, dude,
it's not, hey, use your discretion to understand that if somebody's ticket is here, they probably should go here. Yeah. It's don't let anybody go right here. Okay. And then, and I'm blaming the like supervisors and people that are supposed to actually know better, not the people that are given directions of how to like it's wild.
Now we got a guy on the inside though. Guess who I'm texting next time I have a problem.
Well, he doesn't know. He's gonna have to ask somebody else. And they're gonna have to ask somebody else, and then it's gonna be lost the whole.
But he knows who to trust.
But what I'm saying is, it's not even. I'm not even saying Allegiant. I'm saying it's SoFi is the worst of the worst.
Yeah,
that's why it might not be, but it is fantastic. It is number two on the list. That's what we were talking about, the list.
Yeah, the list.
Best stadiums in the country. The best stadium in the country is the Viking Stadium. It's incredible.
I've never been.
It's number four. Number four on this list. The Falcons are at number three, which, by the way, Falcons' reason the stadium is amazing. It's very cool. But also, you know about the concessions, right?
No.
It was a demand from owner Arthur Blank. We're not charging concession prices. So you go in there and get, like, very cheap food, very cheap beers, very cheap – like, everything's cheap there.
Like a superstore, how they have, like, they keep their prices low, like hot dogs and stuff that. Yeah, that's
great. And he said, look, you're already paying a lot for tickets. You're paying for parking. You're going to come here. You're going to enjoy yourself. You're not going to be paying $8 for a hot dog. It's like $3 or something.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's cool. And that's part of why it's high up there.
I paid $18 for a beer not too long ago at T-Mobile. So.
Get a double.
I got a double Jack and Coke because she's like, you know, it's cheaper if you even it out if you get a double. I said, okay. With tax, it was $37.50.
That actually sounds cheaper than I thought it was going to be.
It's like, wow.
It's wild. But, hey, it's a cool place. That's why you have to pay a lot. Lucas Oil, number five, which I love Indianapolis. That's a cool spot, too.
It's all right.
All right.
Indianapolis.
Where's your garbage link on this list? Have you looked?
The link is like 17, which I thought was kind of rough. I mean,
the link is garbage.
It's all right.
It's trash.
It's a cool complex, though, if you're going to watch
it is,
multiple
with all
games.
All the games in one spot. And there's a train stop, which makes it good.
Yeah. I saw the Commanders is number 30.
It's awful.
How much of it is that video of the toilets emptying onto the fans, though, you think?
Well, it's that and the fact that it's nowhere near Washington.
Right. I know.
It's impossible to get to.
It's like, yeah.
I'm pretty sure if you take the metro, it's like a mile walk from the metro. Like, the stadium metro stop is like a mile away from the stadium.
Yeah, it's garbage.
Like, can we put a metro stop at the stadium, please?
I would hate to play there, though. I always feel like it's like, I don't know.
Devontae said that 2 weeks ago, by the way, on that on that video. He said, that place sucks. He's like, I know people are getting mad. That place sucks. And it did finish number 30 on the list. So, that's interesting. I didn't mean to do my rant. I've done it many times.
Yeah.
And sorry to Griffin, who is a victim of it. If you feel attacked, I'm sorry.
No, not at all. I was actually just about to ask, where does Soldier Field land in that list?
Oh, number 20? Well, you want to know right now or do you want to guess?
You just said 20s. It better be 20.
29.
This second list to is last. Disrespectful.
Yeah.
No respect for history. It's ridiculous.
Lambeau's number one.
I know. Why is Lambeau number one and then 29 is Soldier Field?
Biasy.
Is that
a
word?
No. Also, Soldier Field sucks.
Watch your mouth.
That's why they're getting a new stadium.
We do need a new stadium, but the history doesn't be a component in this.
No.
It's just luxury. How comfy am I when I go watch football?
You know what? I will say they shouldn't have been 29 because Commanders are the worst, and that's fine. But 28 is Everbank Stadium in Jacksonville. That is a dump.
It is.
That should be number 29.
Don't they have a nice little pool on the side of that one?
No, it's not nice. I wouldn't get in it. I don't know. I
might go for a dip.
I don't think there's a filter on that pool. We got to stop this. I'm going to scream too much more about this stuff. I will continue on the other side. Cotton candy pickles? I don't know, man.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Back here, closing things out on a Friday, getting you ready for the weekend that includes Raiders Cowboys tomorrow at the fourth best stadium in the NFL. Much, much better than the 29th best stadium in the NFL, Soldier Field. It's only 29th because there's only 30. If there was like 50, then it'll be like 49.
That's
helpful. It's not a great place. But big weekend ahead in the sports world, of course, tons of preseason football, of baseball going on, the best place to watch it down here at the TI at the Golden Circle. And the first week that fantasy drafts are really heating up. I mean, it is getting intense. I have a very, very big one in the morning, which actually also involves Steve Cofield. Might have to get some advice from you on that. Let's continue here, and let's start there. I feel like you're probably not a fantasy guy.
My problem with fantasy is I forget everything. So I'll go into a week with a guy that's injured starting at running back, or
I'll never allow you in my league.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. Like we used to do those pick 'em leagues too, where you have to like pick with confidence points and stuff. And I'd be doing great, and then all of a sudden I'd forget a week to put him in time, and then that's it. My season's over because, you know, I missed out on an entire week's of points. So, yeah, I like fantasy, but I can't keep track enough to do it.
Cool. I feel like Griffin probably is. You're a fantasy guy?
I wasn't in my early years, but now I've definitely got into it. I got my GM hat on now these days.
Okay, good. I don't know if you guys have done many auction leagues. They are by far the best way to do fantasy leagues. Cofield and I are in one that has been going on, like, for 20 years. A lot of people fly in for this draft. Actually, I think they're out to dinner right now, getting ready for the draft in the morning. I just want to fill the listeners in. And Kofi has alluded to this before. I know I'm not well liked in the league because of a lot of, I'm pretty over the top. I despise auction leagues with Kofi, and he knows that.
Why?
So, again, for those that don't play, it's a little weird, but he is more concerned with you not winning than he is with winning himself. To the point of, like, so in an auction league, you can get whoever players you want if you're willing to spend the money. And obviously you run out of money at some point and you can't get guys. But he might have 7 running backs on his roster, no receivers. He needs receivers. But hopefully nobody's listening to this, I never throw out a guy for bidding that I want. I only throw guys I don't want because I just want people to spend all their money. I want all the guys I want. So I always have like 4 or 5 guys at the end of the draft that I'm hoping nobody throws out that I can get.
Right.
So it'll be toward like the end of the draft, he'll notice like, oh, this is the running back Adam wants. I already have one in mind. I know a running back at the end of the draft that I absolutely want tomorrow.
Yeah.
He might have 7 running backs, no receivers. He can't get another, like, he needs receivers. He can't bid on running backs.
But he'll still take
it. And he'll still keep bidding me up, knowing that it's doing harm to his own team. And he doesn't just do it to me, but he does it to me more than anyone. That's obnoxious.
It is. I
try
can totally,
to win.
You know what? It's obnoxious, but not surprising at all. Like, I can totally see that in his personality.
Yeah. And I am telling you right now, maybe I'll, I don't think I'm on Monday, but maybe I'll even call in or something, and we can Tuesday I'm coming in, we can talk about it. There's a player that I'm going into the draft. He's literally going in like 11th round of drafts, regular drafts. He should be like $3 in an auction. Right now I'm telling you I'm getting him no matter what it costs, and it's gonna be a lot because everybody's gonna see that I'm bidding on him and they're just gonna bid on him because I'm doing it.
Well, how would they know beforehand though who you wanted?
Because you bid, right? So,
so once they see your bid,
so somebody will throw out the player. I almost said his name. Thank goodness I didn't. Johnny Johnson, $1. And then I like kind of disguise it. I'll kind of sit in the corner like, I guess 2. And they're like, oh, this is the guy. And I'm like, oh. And then it'll be like 3, 4, 5. I'm like, he's going for $2 in every auction league in the world. What are you doing? Just because I want him? I mean, it's a sign of respect for sure.
Sure, but couldn't you do that back to them too?
I don't want their junk.
No, yeah, I guess not.
I want them to spend their money on whatever they want, but like, don't. But what I'm saying is, if you want him because you want to try to win, fine. But you're sabotaging your own team.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Now, how does it work as far as keeping them to the next season? You all start all over again?
No, this is a redraft. So There's I have a couple auction leagues that are keeper, dynasty, all kinds of different ones. Right. But yeah, this is a. Everybody's back in the –
And you can stay on top of all that and work and do all your stuff, man. See, I don't know how.
A couple players on the Raiders found out last year how many fantasy teams I had.
Yeah.
And they got very obsessed with it. You want to guess a number?
Is this just football we're talking?
It's just football. But keep in mind, there is something called best ball leagues.
Yeah.
Where you do a draft at the beginning of the year, mostly in the summer.
Right.
And you don't touch it. Like, you're not setting weekly lineups. You just have a team and just set it and hold it.
See, I could probably do good with that because then I wouldn't have to do it.
And you can do a lot of those.
I'm going to guess you have, I don't know, 6.
It's 81.
Come on.
81 teams. 61 were best ball. So you don't do anything. Like, you have a draft.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, you find out if you won or not.
So you got like 20 that you have to maintain then.
Yeah, 20 they have to maintain.
How do you do that?
The apps are good, thank goodness, because before apps, it was very tough. But the apps are good. And you know, like, Tuesdays are pickup days. You pick up Tuesday night. I basically don't sleep Tuesday night. You're up all night running waiver wire stuff. And there's actually some real tricks, like, on a couple of the sites.
Yeah.
I like to do Yahoo leagues for a very particular reason. There's a real hidden trick on the waiver wire on Tuesday nights in Yahoo. So I like to do those leagues because it gives me a hand up. But you need to be up between 2 and 3 a.m.
Yeah. I used to get mad at people.
Yeah.
I'd see them up at like you said, 2 or 3. Yeah. I'm like, come on, man. Are you serious? I have to be up at 2 now to like get ahead of these people? Like, it's ridiculous.
We can we haven't told this story in a while. So I'm doing fantasy talk, not because of anything else, only because it's draft season and I'm obsessed with fantasy, obviously. We talked about this on the show. We actually had a fantasy league where we had to get lawyers involved. and it all involved it's one of my favorite stories. Some guys were starting up a league, and some of them listened, so I'm sorry if the guy that started up the league is running, because we did ruin his entire league. He's like, look, I want to start a really exotic league. A lot of crazy stats. You get points for some weird things.
Yeah.
He's like, do you want to join it? I said, okay, yeah, I'll get in there. And I was actually a partner with somebody else because it was fairly significant money. I was like, yeah, I'll get in. So he said, here's the rules. Everybody read them. You take a week because they're different than everything else, right?
Right.
It's a very different kind of league. And I was like, okay. So I get the rules, and I call my partner in the league, and I said, we won the league. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, I found a loophole. Like, we won the league. And he was like, what are you talking about? I was like, we're not saying anything to anybody. We're going to do the draft. Be prepared, because a lot of people are going to make fun of us for being idiots. Yeah. And we're going to win the league. And he goes, okay. So we go to the draft. We keep it normal for the first three picks and then start going ridiculous with our picks. And people are like, I thought you were good at this. Yeah. You idiot. So, you know, like after the draft, it says, you know, week one projections, you know, score. And it's usually like 112 to 108, whatever.
Yeah.
Our projected score was the other team, 107, us, 744.
What was the loophole?
So he had mistakenly put return yards as 2 points.
Oh.
He wanted to put them as like .02.
Yeah.
And he put them 2 full points.
So he just picked all the returners.
So we drafted 3 legitimate players and then every returner in the league.
How did nobody else notice?
They didn't, because they didn't read the rules close enough.
I guess, yeah.
And you never expect that.
That's amazing.
So at the end of the draft, they're like, well, we have to redraft. I said, no, we do not.
No,
we do not.
Yeah, no.
You had the rules.
Fault.
You had the rules. I had the rules.
Yeah.
And the guy basically was like almost in tears. Like, I just tried to design a league, man.
Yeah, I know. But hey, dude, that's
sorry.
It. You got to play now.
And it was for a significant amount of money.
So what did the lawyer say?
So, well, our lawyer that we consulted, everybody can guess who that is, said, look, it's not legal to do fantasy, but I think there is a case here that you can just say, hey, the money's ours.
Yeah.
But the guy that was running the league said, we're kicking you out of the league, and we're going to throw your players back in and do a redraft. Here's your money back.
No.
And I could have really raised an issue.
I would have.
And I probably should have.
Yeah, because that's not your problem.
But I'm not. I act tough, but I'm not. And I felt I felt awful.
Yeah. Nah. I mean, if the guy was genuinely upset about it and like just like, I was just trying to make a league, I would probably do the same thing. But depending on how much money would you have won?
It was a couple thousand.
Oh, no. Forget about it, dude. I would have been. That's 2 months. That's a whole month of hotels or whatever. No way.
I mean,
no way.
I love fantasy football. That's the bottom line. And don't try to slip by rules, because I will find
that's
loopholes.
That's great. So what's the new loophole? Oh, you can't. I guess you can't say that.
No. It's not a new loophole. The one now is just a player that I really want.
No, you said there was a loophole that happens in the middle of the night or something that you.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
I shouldn't ask you for that.
I'll say it. If you're playing Yahoo leagues, everybody puts in their claims or whatever. But then between 2 and 3, before they actually run the waivers, you can jump in there, and some of the players will still be green, and it won't count against your waiver transaction until they actually run the waivers. So there's like an hour before they actually run them,
yeah,
where you can basically get free pickups before everybody else has a chance to.
Dude, comics teach classes. You should teach a class on fantasy football.
I should, except I don't. Then people want to get in league. Then I'm,
yeah,
I'm like, I'm now I'm giving you my, giving
right.
you all of my.
Everybody, well, it depends on how much you make off that.
I do pretty well. So this is my time of year. I'm excited. Fantasy drafts all week. If you need hints and advice, maybe I'll be tweeting out some stuff. That'll do it for us down here at the TI. Make sure you get down here, watch all the games. I also know some spots are doing really good draft parties this year if you want to get out there and if you want to hit me up on that on social media. So that'll do it for us. Salerno, great work. Back in the studio, Griffin, good job to all our guest Patrick Berbert. Who else do we have? Mark McMillan.
Yeah,
great
chef.
Stuff from him.
He posted out a